Welcome to the Round 13 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined, as per usual, by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate.
Was an absolutely massive round of scoring, mate, with Danger really setting things off with a 229. It's rare that we get two players score 200 2 weeks in a row, Rockcliffe last week and Dangerfield this week.
Yeah, it was a pretty great game by Danger, mate. You would have been very excited with the Cats pumping the ruse.
Yep, I put a bit of money down because our odds blew out from $1.50 to $1.90, so I made a pretty penny. Pretty happy about that.
Might have got a bit lucky with Cunnington and Swallow and Del Santo all getting injured.
Yeah, the game could have been different if they weren't getting smashed in the clearances as much. That was definitely because they lost their two best clearance players.
Danger and Dusty were both awesome on the weekend.
He's one that I didn't have, Mark, so definitely pained me to see just how much he killed it. Luckily, you're on the bandwagon.
Yeah, you kind of saved my score this week, mate. How did you go?
I had a fairly massive one. I scored 26.60, and that pushed me up to 1,513, and I believe 4 points shy of you, Mark.
What were you in the weekly rankings, mate?
There was plenty of big scores, so only 228.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take that any day of the week. I did pass on Rockcliffe in the end, so I went Kennedy and Ruggles to Rance and Collins. That was basically my last sort of rookie upgrade for the season. The only other, you know, mid-pricer I have on field would be Dan Menzel, who scored 121. Because I had basically a full-stack primo team. My worst score was McVay, 68. Second worst was Wingard's 83. And Petrarca came in with an 89 for Aaron Hoare. So team's fully upgraded now, and I'm hoping to keep pumping out the big scores. Hopefully, I can navigate the buys fairly decently. How do you go this week?
The most important thing that you just mentioned was I still am ranked higher than you. Let's make
that very clear. 4 points.
I think it's about 30 ranking points, mate. Come on. 24.97 this week, which seemed okay. I just had a horrible, horrible start to the week, and luckily had the VC on Danger, and Martin came through for me. But early on in the weekend, I had my train plan sorted. I was bringing in Rocky, totally stoked to do that. And then because Adams was out, I was going to be left with a donut. So I had to make a late call on what I wanted to do. I didn't really want to cop the donut. I was planning on bringing in Dalhouse this week, so I thought I'll just change the trade plans around. It's going to cost me a bit of money, but I didn't want the donut. So I brought in Dalhouse last week and missed Rocky. And Dalhouse, in the first quarter, gets injured, does his knee, and he was top scorer at the time. And the weird thing was, like, he went down, the commentators were saying he's gone, he's in so much pain, there's something wrong with him. But then he got up and he had like three more touches and probably did the smother of the season at one point. And then they strapped up his knee at quarter time and he was off for the rest of the game and gone for 4 or 5 weeks. So that is really, really devastating, and it had a very big impact on how I went this week. But I made the right call by shipping Smith and Hopper to the bench and put Trengrove on, and he played really well. Montagna came back this week, did a good job. I guess the biggest concern for me was Luke Parker, 59. He has just turned to absolute shit. He's had a couple of big games, but way too many scores under 100 lately and absolutely terrible. But my man Cochin, 114. Apparently he was in hospital with a kidney complaint last week for two nights and still came out and scored 114 against the Suns. So happy with that and looking forward to the buys. But I guess Dalhouse and Nick Nat are going to cause a couple of issues for me.
Those two players, Mark, actually headlined this week's show.
Yay!
Considering we're entering into this bye period, the major concerns are addressing injured players who contribute toward donuts fairly significantly over the bye period, and as well as that, we'll take a look at some of the rookies on the bubble as well, Mark. But before we get into the show, we'll do a group update, and you'll be happy to know at least our Supercoach Coach community had a smashing week as a whole. So 26.79 was the top score in our group this week, and that was Evo's Punt Road Scholar. That moved him up to 2108th, which is a massive jump. And even though he only pipped me by 19 points, I was equal fourth in our group for the round. So there were plenty of big scores. And with a score of 2640, Darren's I Already Did This rocketed Mark into first place overall. He's leading the Supercoach comp right now is Darren's I Already Did This. So we've been tracking him for a while now. He's been leading our group for a while. And this week, into first, mate.
Yeah, not a bad time to be in first. It'll be very interesting to see how he goes across the 3 weeks of the buys, and hopefully he does really well. And if you can come out of the buys in a strong position, then yeah, you're in a very good chance to win the competition, as long as the dreaded carnage doesn't hit again.
Anyway, a look to our leagues, Mark. We also had a good showing there. We now have 10 of the top 100 leagues after round 12, so some serious moves there. I don't think we had anywhere near that amount in the first few weeks, and we've slowly crawled our way up there. So now 10 of the top 100.
Three of the top 11, I think.
That's right, Mark. That's really anchored by the fact that, yeah, we now have three teams, not in the top 11, in the top 10. So Supercoach Coach number one came in from 10th to 4th, Supercoach Queens from 13th to 5th, and Supercoach Coach Aces from 15th to 9th. So those are serious moves there. So we'll get into the show now, and a massive congratulations to everyone in the community. I hope you all had as good a week as I did. We moved into general questions before we kick off into any specific player questions, and this is more related to general buy strategy, Mark. So we did spend one episode covering general buy strategy, but now that we are literally on the cusp of the buys, let's just have a quick rehash. So the first question here is from @DanSaller83. Do we trade out our buy players before lockout, or can we trade them during game? So this is more just an FYI, Mark. Buy players are not locked out at the beginning of lockout, so you can use them for the vice captaincy loophole, for emergency loophole, all the way up to the last game of the round. Simon Adams question, Mark. This is an actual question for you to respond to. Are the buys this year, as opposed to last year, more about survival and just getting 18 fit bodies onto the field? Or will you continue upgrading throughout this period? So we have touched on this previously, but thoughts on upgrading through the buys?
It depends where your team's at, really. If your team is not fully upgraded, then you should definitely be upgrading during the buys. If you can, there's no point delaying it till after round 15. I think that's way too late in the year to be really doing upgrades. Yeah, I mean, I've got probably one or two upgrades that I'd like to make over the next few weeks. It sounds like you might not have any, or maybe one. I'd be planning on completing them before round 15. And I guess that the other side of that coin is the incentive to trade an injured player over the buys is actually probably a little bit higher, just because you do need to get at least 18 playing players every week.
Definitely agree with that. I think the number one priority during the buys is definitely trying to get 18 fit bodies onto the field. I think if you're just trying to squeeze in marginal rookies onto the team, that's probably not ideal, but try and get as many premiums onto the field as you can. And sometimes, especially in seasons past, we've seen some side swapping of premiums throughout the buy to get more bodies on field as well.
We should just emphasize that point that you made about the rookies there. It's not really worth bringing in, if you've got a non-playing rookie, bringing in a rookie that is playing that might get you 50 points and is either the 18th or 19th player. That's not enough points to be worth a trade. So you want to be getting more out of it than just those points that week. But a premium is a little bit different, I think, because if you can get 100, 100, 120 points, that is a bit more incentive.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of week one, Mark, what's the general theme of this week of trading? What will you be trying to do? Obviously, we touched on trading out the injured players, so Nick Nat and Dalhouse right up there. But more generally, what are you trying to set up for the next two rounds?
I think there's a couple of things that I'll be trading some injured players this week, and I'll be looking to maybe make some money because there's a few rookies on the bubble this week. Getting some money for round 14 and 15 would be ideal. With that said, if I hadn't have bought in Dalhouse last week and he didn't get injured, I probably would have still upgraded to him this week, even with the buy coming up, just because of team balance, because you do want to just make sure your buy balance is right across the positions as well.
So in terms of our audience or our listeners out there, they shouldn't really be looking to do anything too drastically different this week as the last few weeks.
Yeah, look, I think that they kind of should be looking to try and avoid upgrades this week and do them the following week. It's just that, like, I probably didn't have enough round 14 players in my team, so I needed to bring one in, even though it was going to have the bye next week, because it just better balanced my team. So, look, I do think you actually do have to be a bit careful with upgrading this week, and you should be reasonably reluctant to do so, but there are going to be some cases where it makes sense.
So in my situation, Mark, I only have Alex Rant in the back line and Aaron Hall in the forward line, only Ablett and Pendlebury in the midfield, and Smith, who I'm probably trading out. So considering I might have, you know, one extra playing player in the back line, midfield and forwards, would you in my position potentially trade in a round 13 player for better buy balance despite them being on the buy this round?
Absolutely. If you are not going to be playing that player on field, then that definitely makes sense. And it sounds like your team is going to be a bit out of whack in round 14 or 15 or both. So the three trades that you need that week might not be enough. And especially if you cop some injuries. Like this week, I'm dealing with Dalhouse and Nick Nat. If those injuries happened next week, then I'd need that extra trade if I could. So yeah, I have absolutely no problems with trading in round 13 players if they're going to be basically sitting on your bench anyway.
And that is really quite counterintuitive, I would assume, for a lot of listeners out there. It seemed weird to be trading in around 13, maybe even premium, the round that they're literally not playing. But if it works better for your buy balance, it doesn't really make much sense, for example, in my situation, to be bringing on around 14 or 15 premium this round, because all it does is set me up for more buy headaches in the next couple of rounds. So even though they're not playing this round, I'm better off trading according to buy structure and bringing in around 13 player this round. So Montagna or Martin, for example, are actually a potential trade-ins for me this week.
The one thing that does have me concerned is that you should absolutely smash me this week.
1 week, though, and then the next two I'll be crying, mate. Absolutely crying. So it'll be an interesting period. I think
that you really should be looking at the next 3 weeks as one long round.
Agree.
Your aim is to get a really good score across 3 weeks, not each round. So you shouldn't get caught up in a really low score one round or a really good score one round. You just really want to focus on the three together.
100% agree. And that's what makes this period so exciting as well, is that we're always hanging out for the third round to end so that we can see just where people have ended up, where our leagues have ended up in that bye reshuffle. Who's planned poorly, who's gotten a little bit lucky in terms of injuries. That definitely counts for a lot. Even rookie selections, Mark, at this time of year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that there's a very good chance that one of us could be in the top 500 in 3 weeks. We could also shoot right out to 4,000 as well.
Like, yeah.
There is a really good chance over the next 2 weeks to actually make up a significant amount of ground.
Anyway, we'll move on to the rookies now, Mark. And there's actually plenty on the bubble this week. So 2, 4, 6, 8 players on my count.
Some of them are spuds.
Yeah, some of them are spuds and some of them are on the bye. So some of them will hold off until next week. Why don't we just move through them by position and start with Logan Austin.
Really liked what I saw from Austin. I think he played really well against the Doggies. Carlisle is out for another 10 to 11 weeks, I think. So that should lock him in for pretty much the rest of the season if he's in just for Carlisle. I'm not sure whether Jonas coming back from suspension after the bye will potentially knock him out, so that's probably my main concern. His scoring's not going to be massive, but they might want to get some games into him this year. I think he's a pretty solid selection. My main concern is just around the job security with Jonas coming back, but then every single one of these rookies is going to have some job security issues because they're coming in mid-season.
Agreed with that. All right, on to the midfield. Cade Stewart is on the bubble, and he has one of the most attractive numbers. I think he might even be the leading, you know, break-even player this week with a negative 98 break-even. He's priced at the basement price of 102,400. 90 and 70 are his first two scores.
He's been really good in the first couple of weeks. Plenty of tackles. I think the concern is the opposition that they've played. Hawks have had two easier games, and especially against the Bombers, so I think his scores are a bit inflated. Also, having Brand in my team as well makes me a bit wary on these Hawks rookies. They've got O'Rourke in the VFL coming back, and he's now played three games back there since he was injured. So look, I think that the depth at the Hawks makes me very wary to take any more Hawks rookies, and despite his good scoring, I think that Stewart is just, he fits into that category personally. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't really see a, you know, 70 something kilo midfielder playing as we get closer to the finals for a team like Hawthorn that is a serious contender. So, you know, while they have injuries and while they need gap fillers, and while they can expose rookies to senior opportunities, I think they will. But once they start building for actual finals form, I don't think a player like Cade will be around. So at this point in the season, we're looking for guys with fairly decent mid to long-term job security. And even if their short-term job security isn't that great, you'd hope that there's still a chance to get games later in the season. And with Cade Stewart, I sort of feel the later the season gets, the less chance he'll actually get to play.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You've got to be thinking about round 20 with these rookies.
Yeah. All right, Jared Jansen and Jack Chengo for the other two midfield rookies that we talked about last week, Mark. And Jansen, although he started off on fire with a 98, this week really struggled to fire with only a 35. Oh. Chengo, on the other hand, had a probably quieter first game, had to really build into the game to get his possessions late. But, you know, this round set the pace from the start, probably was quieter in the second half of the game, but finished with a score of 81. So as a starting score, 60 and 81 for the former captain of their club, 156,000. He seems like a fair lock, doesn't he?
Absolutely. I think he's a must-have. And I picked him up before he even played his first game. Agree on Jansen. Like, I think I'd almost rather take a punt on Matheson than Jansen. Matheson had a pretty good game in the NEAFL on the weekend. And I think that Jansen's position is going to be pretty sketchy going forward. Jesse Joyce is another rookie, the defender midfielder. Did you see what the captain's issue that was going around on Twitter on the weekend?
No, what was that?
Someone had the vice captain on Danger and put the captain on Joyce.
Oh, my God.
Assuming that he wasn't playing.
Oh, wow.
And Joyce scored 26 instead of the 220 or 227 or whatever.
That's really painful. That's a swing of 203 points. Wow. I'm guessing Jesse Joyce is going to be a never again player for that guy.
Yeah, I think that I probably would have just broken my iPad or something like.
All right. On to a ruck rookie, Mark, on the bubble. Mark Pitanay. 16 in round one and came in for this last game, scored a 64.
I think he had like six handballs or something, like possession count. Segler due back this week, gone.
James Rose and Will Hams in the forward line. I think you mentioned Hams last week, Mark, but both these blokes actually come with an inflated price tag. So James Rose, 155,000, and Will Hams, 158,000. I think if there's any week to bring in an expensive rookie, it's the week that we get three traits to play with. So from that point of view, as long as their job security and scoring potential looks decent, I think there could be decent options in this trade period, especially considering the recent lack of forward rookies, Mark. Who would you pick between the two?
So I went to the footy on Friday night to watch Hawks versus the Bombers, and it was a very boring game. So actually just spent a lot of the game watching Will Hams, hoping to get a good read and hoping for good things. But he got a decent amount of the ball, but his disposal was just shocking. Like, for his size, I think he needs some more weapons, and he just doesn't seem to have them. I know Essendon re-rookied him based on the game on Friday night. I mean, I know we were against the Hawks, but I'm really surprised that they did re-rookie him. He's got a good competitiveness, and he can get the ball, but really lets himself down with his disposal and his finishing, and I'd be very surprised if he's on our list next year based on what I saw on Friday night. So that kind of ruled him out for me, because I think that there are better players around at the Bombers that will be fighting for games. They want to have a look at him, but I think that they're not going to be impressed with the look that they get. James Rose, though, I didn't see all of the Giants-Suns game, but I did watch quite a bit of it, and I thought he was super impressive. He's been killing Dream Team, but hasn't been converting to Supercoach. He kicked 1-3 on the weekend. I think that kicking 1-3 is probably enough to at least can give him a spot for this week. Again, it's probably around job security more than anything. I know that they've got like a Dean Towers in the reserves that could play a similar role, or Hewitt might come back after he's being off for concussion and he's been doing all right. But I mean, he's got the number one jersey. He looks like he fits the Sydney style. I don't want to be bullish on James Rose, but I did definitely like what I saw. I can see the job security concerns in like 6 or 7 weeks being a big issue potentially. But then Sydney have given their youngsters a really good shot this year and have let them have an opportunity to get some proper experience. So look, out of all the rookies this week other than Trengove, Rose is probably the one I'm most keen on.
He was drafted in the second round in the 2014 draft. And last year, he was a late in for the semi-final game against North Melbourne. I think that says a little bit about a kid as well. If in your first year, you make it into, you know, a finals list for the Sydney Swans. So, yeah, I think out of Hams and Rose, Rose definitely leads the way. The price tag does carry some inherent risk with it, though. So considering, you know, all the potential downsides you have mentioned for Rose, would you still potentially think about paying that extra for him?
Yeah, look, I think I would. Just because, I mean, we spoke about it a lot on last week's show that getting a forward rookie is going to be really important. We did see Phillips play for the Pies on the weekend, and he had a really good first half and played okay and should be in the next game, but he can be a mid-forward selection. And I think I'd rather take Rose at the inflated price than punt on Phillips before just making sure he's selected for that next game, because who knows what the Pies' outfit is exactly going to look like. They do seem to be fiddling a bit at the moment. And Phillips also gives you a potential option later in the bye round. So, yeah, if I'm going this week for forward, James Rose is probably that guy.
There is Sam Reed, the bloke that finally made it back onto a list after signing up as an assistant coach with GWS.
And he looked okay. He didn't get a lot of the ball. He's got a big frame on him. I think that really want to look at after another game, but again, with the Giants, they're so deep and they've got so much talent in the NEAFL that would really worry me with Reed.
All right, then. So if you had to do a 1-2, it sounds like you'd be going for 1 Jack Trengrove and 2 James Rose.
Trengrove by a mile, I think that you should go out of your way to bring him in. 2, look, it's probably realistically pretty close between Austin and Rose.
For me, yeah, it'd be fairly similar, except I'd say that, you know, still keep your eye on Jansen / Matheson, just because in terms of job security, they're right up there just behind Trengove. And so, you know, if you are looking for 2 midfield rookies, you know, whichever one gets picked and plays on the bubble this week could be a decent second option to Trengove.
Yep, Matheson and Vice is good.
All right, on to the injury questions now, Mark. The first is about Nick Nat.
Not only does he get injured and going to be out for 8 weeks, he played shit, scored shit, and lost a ton of money.
Yeah, we could have traded him out at $545,000, and instead he's being traded out 25K left at $520,000, Mark. And I think, you know, Gorn on the flip side, who'd be the other guy that a lot of people are looking at, went up $29,000. So
$50,000.
Yeah, $50,000 and 40 points in 1 week. Mark, is Nick Nat a vital trade this week considering it's the bye? So that question is from Scott McNaughton.
Yeah, I think there's no reason to keep a premium that's going to be injured for that long. I mean, whoever you trade in this week is going to miss one of the next 3 weeks. So, like, whether you do it this week or next week, there's not a huge difference depending on who you want to bring in, I guess. Like, if you're looking at someone like a Sam Jacobs, like, you may as well wait a week. But if you're looking for someone else, you may as well just do it this week.
Yeah, agree with that. Bye time is when you trade injured players because you're already struggling to get players on field. So I agree with that. Moving on to who we actually trade in for Nick Nat. At Dylan R. Spencer on Twitter has asked, can an argument be made for bringing in a cheaper type instead of, you know, like a Goldstein or Gorn type? So Hickey and Zach Smith are two names that he's mentioned, and they've certainly been up and down, but Hickey on the weekend scored 139 and is at 407,000. Also has ruck forward flexibility. And Smith, 425,000, coming off 117 and 99.
I've got both of these guys in my draft team, so I've been watching them pretty closely in their scoring, and they've definitely been very up and down and not consistently getting over 100. I think Smith, in the last 5 rounds, he's had 3 scores, 99 or above, so definitely been improving. If Reece Stanley wasn't playing, I think Zach Smith would be an absolutely fantastic pick. In the one game where Stanley didn't play, he scored 117, 31 hitouts, and I think that he would really appreciate that role. But the fact that Stanley is playing would have me worried. The other thing with Smith is that he shares a bye with Goldstein, and having both rucks out the same week, I think, can limit your ability to get players onto the park and get a best 18 out there. And Hickey has got those big scores in him, which might flatten out his average, but he's also had a lot of sort of 80, 70 scores this year, which I think that realistically there's been 3 gun rucks this year, Goldstein, Nick Nat and Gorn, and it's really important to have 2 of those 3 if you can.
100%. So now that Nick Nat's gone down, basically whoever had the Goldstein-Nick Nat combination be looking at Gorn, and whoever has the Nick Nat-Gorn combination be looking at Goldstein. Would there be really any reason that you'd consider going outside of that?
Yeah, I guess that there is. The main one being Goldstein does seem to be still suffering from his knee injury. And look, I think he'll play through it and he'll probably actually come good. But then maybe he won't, and maybe he will have the sort of a tendonitis thing in the knee for the rest of the year, and that will actually just cap his ceiling a bit, and he might drop 10 points in average. And in that sense, maybe if everybody is going to have Gorn and Goldie, then you may potentially be able to get an advantage by going someone else. I'm not recommending that as a strategy. I think I would still pick Goldie, even though he does seem to be injured. But I can understand why maybe someone might go, I'm going to gamble here and hope that one of these other ruckmen for their price can kind of match Goldstein, I guess.
I think the real problem is once you take out Nick Nat, Gawn's averaging 116.67 and Goldstein's averaging 114.9. The next closest is Shane Mumford at 94. So that's a gap of 20 points per game. And it's pretty hard to bridge that ceiling gap with value, especially, you know, late in the season. Early in the season, value counts for a lot. But as the season wears on and people complete their teams and we've all reached, you know, fully upgraded sides, ceiling starts counting a lot more than value does, I think.
Mumford had a decent start to the year but has faded a little bit lately. And, I mean, he does provide value and he could go well, but he does have the round 15 bye and his injury history. I just could not pick Shane Mumford due to that history. And he hasn't had the big games this year that he's known for. So I think that hearing him in the preseason, he's still carrying injuries and his body will never quite be right.
I think, you know, the sort of player you might consider is really rolling the dice. Would you trade in Stefan Martin for 347,000? Has scored...
Does he cost 347,000?
That's right.
I apologize to his owners for laughing at that because, wow, that would really suck.
Yeah, but I mean, 48, 40, 69 and 56. Do you have the balls to take the plunge at that price and hope that he can average 100 again? Because he's capable of potentially more than 100. Would you consider Blitzarves? Last year, averaged close to 110. This year, averaging 93.75 and is just rolling off of 53 in round 10. Those are sort of the price risks you'd consider, but I think at the end of the day, it's pretty hard to move away from Goldstein, Gorn.
Martin, at that price, presents a heap of value. If you ask any of his owners, they would say, do not do it, do not do it. Because, I mean, you've got the concussion and how that seems to have affected him. You've got Trent West in the team. You'd have to see Trent West drop this week before you considered that. And even then, like, it took Brody Smith a long time to come back from those concussions last year. And will we see the same Steph Martin again this year is really up in the air. If you could see signs that he was going to come back and average like you expected him to at the start of the year, even to get like a 90 average, that's awesome at that price. But I don't think that anyone could recommend bringing him in. Blitzkov's around 15 by player. I really expected a little bit more from him this year. He seems like a solid option without being too excited.
All right, last question in the Rucks, Mark. Jib Rangers on Twitter has asked, is Lysette now a chance to average 95 to 100 as the number one Ruck?
Yeah, like until the last couple of weeks, I think he averaged about 100 through that middle period. So, yeah, I definitely think that he can. I think he's coming up with 38 against Adelaide. So it's hard to recommend him after that, though.
Yeah.
Very, very risky selection. I guess you can move him into that forward spot later in the year and maybe like rotate him through. But I think that he can with Nick Nat not being there. I definitely think that he can. Just hard after the 38 to really recommend him.
Yeah, definitely agree with that, Mark. All right, we'll move on to the next player with injury concerns, and that's Luke Dalhouse. He's at 477,000 after dropping 41,000 with a score of 29. So unfortunate timing for people that just brought him in. But what do you actually do with Luke Dalhouse? Do you trade him this week? I'm assuming, based on our conversations today, that there's no legitimate reason to hold on to him through the buys.
Look, I think that there probably is a case that could be made to hold on to him through the buys. Like, if you can cover him the next couple of weeks, he might be out 4 or 5, but they've said he's going to be in a brace for 3 weeks and then they're going to reassess where he's at. So you'd think it's at least 4 and it could be sort of 5 weeks off. Like, you're never keeping a premium that's off for 5 weeks. So from that perspective, look, I think you do have to bite the bullet and trade him. And he's got a really high break even now after a couple of really low scores in a row. So, I mean, maybe you bring him back later in the year as a cover or a swingman or something. But look, I think you probably do have to trade him, unfortunately. So that's one trade that I've just lit a match to and thrown away. But yeah, I'll definitely be trading him this week.
All right, so we've talked about forward options quite a bit over the last probably 2 months. I thought, you know, what could be good heading into this bye period is maybe nominate a top six forwards from each of us so that our listeners have some sort of guide to complete their team with. Mark, I'm going to list some players now and then you can sort of put them into a top six as you see fit. So I've listed the midfield forwards first. Dustin Martin, Brett Delidio, Lee Montagna, Zach Merritt, Zorko, Daniel Wells, and of course, Luke Dalhouse now omitted with his injury for the next 5 weeks. And then we've got key position forwards, Rewalt, Kennedy, Franklin, Gunston, and Waite. So first, I mean, is there anybody I missed? And then secondly, yeah, who would your top six be?
I think that the first players that you read out are probably the ones that I'd be going for. That list seems almost comprehensive to me. I think that you're taking a big risk on any of those other guys, both injury and missing games. I mean, I've been super impressed by all of Rewalt, Kennedy, Franklin, Gunston and Waite at times this year. But I think that it's a much better idea just to pick those mid-forwards. I know Zorko does seem to have slowed down the last couple of weeks since Rocky came in. So you might get him a bit cheaper. But then, I mean, he does have around 15 buy, so he might almost be like an injury correction sort of trade. I think that Martin, Delidio, Montagna, Zorko are probably going to be the top four. And then Merritt and Wells could easily be thrown in with any of those key position guys.
I listed the mid-forwards first, and it surprised me that there were exactly six of them once you took Dalhouse out. There are a few fringe players that are left out from that initial list, like Cyril Rioli, Westhoff, Wingard, those sort of players. But I think the players we first covered off do seem that step above. So,
if you're going to pick someone outside of that first six that you mentioned, then I think you pick them because they presented a heap of value like you did with Wingard a few weeks ago.
Alrighty, that hopefully, you know, gives you something to go off this week, depending on your buy situation. Personally, I'm looking to trade in around 13 forward potentially this week. And so Martin, Delidio, and Montagna are candidates for mine. Merritt.
Take lids and stop copying my team.
Merritt is probably the top option now that Dalhouse is out for around 14 buy player. And for around 15 buy player, considering most of us have Wells, Zorko is the clear standout target. Although I do have to mention that, talking about value, Mark, you won't believe this, I don't think, but Jared Waite, he's down at 385k now.
I remember at the start of the year, it was probably like round two or three, we were saying, don't pick Jared Waite. This is not sustainable. This is not who he is. And people like would have just given in and gone, no, there's a new Jared Waite out there. But the real Jared Waite has shown his face and dropped off.
And it's hilarious. You need to look
at the long term sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, first six rounds, low of 103, high of 174. Next six rounds, low of 42, high of 95. So it's been night and day for him, unfortunately. But, you know, certainly presents value for anybody out there looking for value for round 15 player. All right, Mark, last question for the round. Wally Wallace has asked, if you have both Nick Nat and Dalhouse, which he does, do you need to trade both of them out? Or, you know, do you trade out Nick Nat because he's gone for 8 weeks and hold on to Dalhouse because he might be back?
I really feel for Wally because that is a terrible situation to be in. And, yeah, you got to trade both of them out. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what you're doing, I'm assuming, Mark.
Yeah, it is, mate. I think I'm probably looking at Nick Nat to Gorn, Dalhouse to Rockliffe, and probably a cash injection with maybe Smith to Rose.
So that's probably a good way to round out the show, Mark. It is ideal, I think, after round one of the buys, if you at least take in, you know, one trade's worth of downgrade money so that you can hopefully upgrade a little bit more aggressively in rounds 14 and 15 to complete your team. Yeah. I think that's a good strategy, Mark, and I'll certainly be looking to take at least 250.
Who are you going to get for Nick Nat, mate?
Yeah, definitely Gorn for me at the moment.
On the weekend, he was terrible in that first quarter and then just went completely nuts after that. I'm just sick of watching Melbourne play and barracking against Gorn because he seems to have so much impact on my ranking that, yeah, it's been very painful barracking against him when he does well. He's fun to barrack for. He's cool. I like him.
Thankfully, Mark, he works out buy-wise, so he takes over from Nick Nat's round 14 buy, also being a round 14 buy player. Alrighty, so that's a wrap for this week's show. Just a reminder to everyone out there, you can ask us your questions for this show on a Tuesday on Facebook at facebook.com/supercoachcoach and on Twitter at supercoachcoach. And don't forget, we are on Patreon at patreon.com/supercoachcoach for anyone looking to contribute to the running costs of the show. We very much appreciate that. And at the end of the year, we will release a bonus season review for our Patreon listeners exclusively. So that's a little, you know, bonus to look forward to if you decide to donate to the show, Mark. Anything else to leave our listeners with?
Mate, as a Bombers fan, I'm getting very sick of this season and looking forward to next year. Kind of hoping the fantasy goes well because that's all that's keeping me interested at the moment.
We do get quite excited, I think, at Supercoach Coach when the bye period rolls around. We normally see a bit of a jump in our rankings. And I think this year, starting at 1500th, Mark, I'm quite keen to breach this top 1000 once we get out of this three-round period.
Yeah, well, 3 rounds ago I was in the top 1000 and now I'm not. So there you go.
Let's move up together, mate. Hand in hand now. We're only 4 points apart. You're not.
Well, if you keep copying my bloody players, how am I supposed to get ahead?
All right, you bring in Rockliffe this week, and I'll pass. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll catch you all next week. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Yeah.